venerable religious, dear parishioners, on this third Sunday, the rejoicing Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, St. Paul tells us to rejoice and to not rejoice sometimes, but he says, always rejoice in the Lord. And he connects it right away with a virtue, the virtue of moderation. In some translations of Scripture, it's translated as modesty. And I wish to speak about that virtue today, because it is right there in front of our eyes for this third Sunday in Advent. It's interesting also, by the way, to see the contrast. Actually, I should say a comparison between the epistle and the gospel. St. Paul and St. John are telling us to preach. Or I should say, perhaps, St. Paul is telling us to preach by our moderation, by our modesty. Not everyone is called to preach as openly, you might say, on the soapbox, so to speak, as St. John the Baptist was called to preach. So really, today is kind of the Sunday of preaching. How do you preach? There are times, and especially priests are called upon to preach in a public way. That's what they do when they give sermons. They're preaching those great truths that matter so much, that will determine where we spend eternity. But never forget this, you are all called upon to preach. That's the message of today. Let your moderation be known to all men. I might also add that religious are called upon in a special way to preach through their religious vocation. And one of the very evident ways they preach is through just their religious habit. The sisters with their beautiful blue habits, the priests and brothers wearing habits or cassocks. That is preaching. That's letting their moderation be known. But they also preach in other ways, many of them involved in Catholic education, many of them involved in printing apostolates. There are nuns that are dedicated to nursing in hospitals. All of that is preaching, but laity are also called upon to preach. And a good example is always a sermon. Let's reflect upon modesty and moderation then in our body. How can we apply this? Well, let's look at the different faculties and powers that we have. We have the power to see. And what do we call moderation of the eyes? We call it custody of the eyes. Not just always looking at everything without restraint, but guarding our eyes. Obviously, we can't keep them on the ground. We shouldn't keep them on the ground, but we have to have a moderation there, a modesty of the eyes. And needless to say, when it comes to occasions of sin, that custody has to turn us away immediately from the danger. There's also the modesty or moderation of the tongue. How easy it is for us to just blurt out whatever comes to mind. And St. James tells us in his epistle how easy it is to commit those sins of the tongue. He says, if you do not commit any sins of the tongue, you're perfect. So it's just good to practice that restraint. St. James gives a couple of analogies. He compares, well, I guess one of them would be kind of, you could say, the Smokey Bear analogy. You know those pictures you've seen of Smokey the Bear standing in front of a burned out forest, and he's holding that match. And the message is clear. That little match caused that whole forest to burn up. And St. James uses that analogy. He talks about the great fire that can happen. He says the tongue is like that thing that could start a small fire and then it burns up many, many acres. He also compares the tongue to the rudder of a ship. He says it's not a large or a main part of the boat, but it's a most important part. It determines where that boat is going to end up. And then also modesty or moderation of action. You know, the Christian shows himself or herself by the way he or she comports. And if a person is just hanging loose, as we would say, you know, they're certainly not conveying that moderation, that modesty. But let's also reflect upon modesty of clothing. And this is an absolute necessity because of man's fallen condition. As we know, Adam and Eve were not needing clothes in their original innocence. They had a perfect control of the body. The body never did anything that the mind didn't tell it to do. There was no conflict. That was a gift, because our normal condition is to be at war within ourselves. You know, don't forget that when God created human nature, he put two contraries together. They don't go together any more than oil and water go together. This is the Creator's plan. He put spirit into matter and they repel one another. They don't get along. Of course, God worked a miracle. Each one of us is a special creation by that fact. But spirit and matter are joined together. You know, there are ways that there are chemicals that can force oil and water to go together. But that's not their normal way. So no wonder after the fall, there was now going to be a conflict, a battle. St. Paul talks about the law of the mind fighting against the law of the body fighting against the law of his mind. He's talking about the conflict. We have to bring the body into submission to the soul. But anyway, it's interesting to read that when Adam and Eve fell, and we read this in Genesis, they were ashamed. And that was a proper, normal response now to their fallen condition. And they covered themselves with fig leaves. And then they had to stand before the Lord. Of course, God was not in the beatific vision, but he said, "Why are you acting like this?" God already knew. He saw everything. But he wanted that admission. You know, it's so interesting to read. I can't help but smile. When God asked Adam, "So why did you do this?" And he points to his wife. It's her fault. "The woman you gave me gave me the fruit to eat." The first example of trying to pass the buck. And then God spoke to Eve, and she too had to pass it to somebody. She blamed the serpent. They weren't taking responsibility. They knew they had turned their backs on God. They knew they had rejected him. They knew they wanted to be their own God by knowing things that only God could know. And they were ashamed. And there was, again, this is part of modesty, not a bad sense of shame, but the healthy shame that says, "I need to cover." And what's interesting to read is that that wasn't enough. Before God sends them out of the Garden of Eden permanently, nobody would ever enter there again, he clothes them in animal skins. So the fig leaves weren't enough. So the lesson in modesty and moderation was being taught. And it's only common sense. You know, when a person is immodest, they're saying, look at my body. And when that happens, a switch turns on in the beholder's eye or the beholder's mind, and no longer is thinking about the character, the personality, the good qualities. No, that's been turned off by the immodest dress. You see, it's that important. And it's one of the greatest weaknesses of human nature. The saints tell us more souls go to hell for the sins of misusing the body, of lusting after the body, than for any other reason. Our Lord reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount that to look with lust is to commit adultery of the heart. And despite the fact that we live in an age where there are more dangers because of the internet, because of movies and television than ever before, doesn't lessen or change the divine teaching and the teaching of common sense. We have to properly cover the body, let that modesty, let that moderation be known. And it's so hard. I know it has to be, because we have to live in the world but not be of the world, and we're surrounded by so many examples of immodest dress, of showing off the body. And even during winter time, you know, the skin-tight pants, you know, and other forms of immodesty that happen. So remember, the grace of God is all-powerful, will give us all the strength that we need. So let us heed the Bible's teachings, and let us heed the church's teachings. Pope Pius XII, the most recent pope to certainly be a valid pope, talks about how important it is for mothers, especially, to instill in their children, in their daughters, but really all their children, that sense of purity through modest dress. Just to give you one quick quote. O Christian mothers, if you did not but know what a future of inner torment you are inviting for your sons and daughters by your imprudence in rearing them accustomed to go about partially clothed, making them lose the simple sense of modesty, you would blush. So he talks about the sense of modesty. It's not about revealing the body, but it's about tastefully covering it, again, in a moderate way. You know, it's not putting on this big tent, you know, that's certainly not modesty, but just, you know, conveying that sense. And St. Paul is saying this is something we carry with us all the time. You know, I want to just close with an inspiring account of something. It's actually from a video that I watched of a man who was married, but he had struggles with watching evil things, pornographic things. And he said that, unfortunately, he was exposed to it when he was only 9 years old. Just happened at a sleepover he had with other friends, other boys that he knew. And the struggles began, the terrible fight. And he knew it was how wrong it was, but he was just coming back to it, and it was affecting his marriage, obviously. And then he was inspired to realize that there were chains that he needed to break. And that word, that chain, really was really very paramount in his mind. And he actually decided he was going to run 30 marathons and to do it in 30 days. I don't know how he did that, because a marathon is 26 miles. So, and he did it with handcuffs on. And he said, I'm doing this to raise the awareness that sin enslaves and that we have to break the chains. And as though that wasn't enough, he recently rode a bicycle all the way across the country, dragging a huge chain behind him. It was so heavy that even on downhill slopes, He says he couldn't coast. He had to keep pedaling. But by the time, and when he asked his wife if he should do this, he was, you know, he was just trying to see what she thought. She said, "You have to do this." She was aware of his struggles. She knew what was important. And so by the time he finished this bike ride all the way across the country, the chain had been completely worn away. And he was trying to get across the idea through prayer and the grace of God and effort, we can break the chains. And never forget that. Sin enslaves. The devil, the father of lies, is always telling people it's liberating to sin, to commit sin, but it's the exact opposite is true. It's enslaving us. It's weighing us down with more and more chains. And obviously one cannot save his soul. We have to break the chains. So this is the way we do it, through the grace of God, through this beautiful moderation. And St. Paul connects it with joy. He said, this is the truth, that living the life of virtue gives us joy, true joy. Never forget that. God rest her soul, Mrs. Kathy Radecki recently passed away. One of her sayings was, modesty is one of the easiest virtues to practice. Just live it in your daily life. And she certainly, among many others, was that example of letting her moderation, her modesty, shine before all. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is nigh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.